It was always uppermost on the list of acquisitions for the Phoenix Institute because so much could be housed in that arena, so much fabrication could be done in that arena. It also got somehow sidetracked into Ed Cleary's and Mike's acquisitions in Cummings Valley, where they were going to place Rod to oversee all of the agricultural operations in Cummings Valley. Now, that's the only place available. So Louise had written, on the phone, did you move to the, were you able to get, did you buy the little farm or not? Or I see that you have chosen to move into town and do carpentry or something. I paused because I wanted to get it straight, and I still am not sure that I have. He wanted money to put down on the farm. And she didn't have any more people. And Mike and Ed and Lou and Two Gun Jack were out there with Rod during those last days looking at all that property. And now, because of misunderstandings, outright wishful thinking, whatever we're going to talk about, look where we've come. We have a family that we all cherished. We still do. Suffering because of bad choices. And we hang on to these beliefs. And we close down other possibilities, waiting. Our souls have one great mission, and that is to become one with God. And yet we've got to go through the physical incarnations long enough to learn to make good choices. And I can't help it. When I am set aside and I am lumped into the evil brotherhood or the dark brotherhood, I am put out because I will leave. Does everybody understand me? I don't butt in where I'm not asked. And the ears are closed, the heart is hardened, and like Pharaoh, I'm going to take my stand, and I guess I'm going to take it against you. Well, it's very sad when it comes to this. Very, very painful. Because there's nothing to do except wait on through it. Because you see, the other side of that coin is other ones stand responsible for picking up the loss and making it right. And in this instance, the monies were paid to a small corporation with one owner, one bank account. It was not reported to anybody like the IRS. And it is a lot of money. We're talking 25 grand. And IRS doesn't like it. And that immediately then comes against the Institute, which is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. That's not the kind of business that we do. That's the kind of business that George Green does. So regardless of how we would like to have it, and regardless of who you would like to believe, you better look at facts. And it really pays to look at those facts prior to making great inroads into the condition. And we try never to cut the avenues off from the way back, if that road didn't work out to be so good, but pretty rutted and pretty deep in mud. On the other hand, I don't know how many of you feel so good about it. Because it turns around and intentionally puts you most obvious ones that are always out there at risk into deeper risk. I told you from onset, don't make this into a cult. It isn't. Don't make me into God. That's not the role I need to play here. We've got to get a remnant through. That means we've got to have food and sustenance, shelter and a way to make it if and when. When? This is an island. And DJ, I want you to know that Rod did send the key, the keys, and the manuals that were not his back to Hamilton's. And Hamilton's don't know what they're going to do. So get in touch with Flint. He's confused. He doesn't know what to do either. He doesn't know why he got him back. He doesn't know whether to sell it. He doesn't know if he has title. It was set up as a lease. And the equipment in question was not even leased to Rod. It was leased to Sunshine Valley Farms. Well, maybe it's all right with the rest of you to be called evil, because that's what you've been announced as, this evil group. It's not all right with me. I'm not evil. I serve God, period. And if you think that you cannot take a stand in the name of God, then I pity you. You're certainly in the wrong place. Because there aren't sides to take, as far as I'm concerned. There's only one side. And that's the side of right and truth. And we certainly don't go out of our way to hurt anyone. And I'm a little pained that ones would go so far out of their way to hurt us. And you see, it is not just hurting one or two that you happen to dislike. It hurts the message of God because they're trying to pull down the messengers. And I'm not going to stand for it. So when ones feel like they're fighting the Ecker-Eckers, forget it. They're trying to get old hats on. And there ain't no way. Just strike it. There is no way. You want to take me on? You got me. Now, what do we have to cover in here? We have Felix Chavez here. I want you all to welcome him. He's got some really good stories to tell you. And yes, sir, we've been around a long time. And it's a good, strong name. What do we have in this mess of stuff? I want all of you, and I want this to go to Phyllis. Either Phyllis or Claudia, whoever is stuck with the layout. This is not new, but this is a bill. See? On this side, it would ordinarily bear Washington's picture, but it bears Santa Claus. It seems suitable to me somehow, but I think that you might want to use this for the paper, along with the information that came with it. Let's see. Now, here's someone, Ron Brennan, that says, I've been told we are old friends, that we served together in the Galactic Command, and I am the former commander of the Phoenix. My name at that time, I'm told, was Ramon. I would like very much to communicate with you, and if at all possible, to pay a visit to my old ship. Well, Ron, I don't mean to be non-communicative, but you see, the Phoenix evolved from the Bethlehem in this instance. And I was commander of the Galactica, which is now commanded by Commander Leah. And therefore, I would not have been the commander at that time. Rick, maybe you would share Maholi's note with us. Now, I have something that will get covered in the writing of today, because this gentleman, basically unknown, has been reading the paper for about a year, and so he has come up with what he thinks with others is a way to make gold from silver with so many particulates and steel balls in a sealed case, and you bash them together enough, I guess, to make them do something. I don't know what. And his question is, all the previous information was background for my basic question to Hatan. Under the above strategy, and he has formulas here and methodology, which any of you are welcome to read. I just don't want to take time with it, and I can't take time to respond to everything. The above strategy, the mass adder calcium, is the product used to increase mass or transmutate. Now, my question, is it in any way conceivable that one could use powdered dreas as an agent for transmutation of elements? If not, might you suggest another strategy? Thank you. My response, as you will see, is no to all above questions. This will not work. They can pound it into steel. They can pound it into anything. They can pulverize the cage. It will not work. That's number one. No matter what you do with calcium, it will not work. Calcium is an end result of silica transformation, and you could start with sand and you would do better than this, for instance. But that's a whole other thing. If it were time for you ones to make gold out of anything, it would be available. But I want to warn you, anybody who thinks you're going to make gold out of anything other than use the gold they allow you to have, you're dead. So I would not, if I wanted to this moment broadcast it, I would not. That's your death sentence, to know how to do something like that. And as for the dreas, you can't powder dreas. You can have a powdered product that has no weight. It will be less than weighing because it will almost suspend itself. And it has no reactive value until it is hydrated, because dreas are perfect cellular structure. And to have a cellular structure of perfect working order, you must have fluid. That is part of it. And the dreas do take gold and other products and reduce them or transmute them to the one cellular ion you have to have in every cell, and that is monoatomic gold. And since most of you are depleted in gold, because it's used for everything except you, you do not have the other elements necessarily available to produce that monoatomic one fragment in a DNA structure that allows you perfect cellular structure. And that's what we're trying to do, is replace that. Because when you do not have it as the carrying silica gold reactive blueprint in that DNA RNA structure, you will have a mutant cell. And a mutant cell clumped is simply cancer. Cancer carcinomas are absolutely nothing more than disease call mutations or simple mutated cells that with a good immune system, they will be taken care of and washed out of the body. So when we make it a disease, we make an error right off the bat. There's only one kind of carcinoma, and that's a mutant cell. And you can have liver cancer, lung cancer, blood cancer, bone cancer. It's all simply mutated cells. They can be caused by myriads of things, and they will tend to isolate in given areas according to the cause of mutation. And it's such a long, long subject that I won't haggle over it now. But that's simply the way the body handles these unnatural elements. Or when the immune system is so devoid of the things it needs, it will allow a clumping or a building up. It can't get rid of them or counter them. So let's see, what have I left out? I want to talk about Ron's things and the things they have going over there. But I want to do that after we read the writing, because I want to save some time. And I have to make it known right up front here that these thick documents that they're sending out willy-nilly over the fax line, we cannot even afford to receive them. It is taking so much ink and so much paper and so much expense just to receive these massive documents they send out every day. I don't see how they can manage it. But that's neither here nor there. The reason that I bring it up is because when we discuss these things, I have to depend on you listeners to get the documents that you want through them, please. We do not have them available. And we cannot make them available. We can work with and we can give you updates and we can make comments, but we cannot supply all these documents. Jeff has something he would like to read to us, and I would like to have it read. And I may make some comments along the way, regardless of whatever you think up here and in front. I bless him for bringing it. These are the things that we need to share. We need abundant love and joy in our lives to make it through. There's no purpose in making it through otherwise. Just be very careful with whom you speak and make sure the message is right. You can't always tell the messenger in advance, but you can always tell by the message. And it won't mean that the messenger the very next time won't give you negative information. So it's every time. And I thank Jeff for bringing this.
December 2nd.
There we go. December 2nd, 1995. I come in light to all my friends from Jeff. I come in light, or do I? Where is this light from which I come? Is the light from a light bulb that illuminates this room the light for which I seek? I don't think so, but why don't I think so? Am I in service to God, or do I contribute away from that path? What is good? What difference does it make? It seems to make a difference to me, but why? What is the truth of it? Someone please tell me. People tell me, quote, go within and ask God, unquote, or be still and know. Others tell me, it's like putting your finger in a power receptacle. You just know. Well,
also shocks you, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't intend to put my finger in a power receptacle to find out, so I guess I'll never get it.
Right.
For some reason, I have a powerful, quote, understanding, unquote, of an event recorded in the, quote, Bible, unquote. Whether it was or wasn't me 2,000 years ago, his lesson is my lesson. Could I have been trying at this one thought for that long or longer? This quote is from the New American Bible, St. Joseph's edition, the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 through 30, quoting, the danger of riches. Another time a man came up to him and said, quote, teacher, what good must I do to possess everlasting life? My comment was, sounds familiar. He answered, quote, why do you question me about what is good? My comment was, he knew that I knew. There is one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He asked. Jesus replied, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, I have kept all these. What do I need to do further? Jesus told him, If you seek perfection, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. You will then have treasure in heaven. Afterward, come back and follow me. My comment. I knew, and Emmanuel knew, that I wasn't listening to that voice inside that tells me what I need. I needed to trust that voice that was telling me, as Commander Hatton has told me, if you are confused, get the facts. If you are still confused, get the facts explained. Getting the facts, quote, explained, unquote, by following Emmanuel and what he taught was what I needed, but I ignored that thought. Quote, wealth, unquote, people told me, was a sign of divine favor. Will I ever learn? How long will I choose to sit on the fence of indecision? It's up to me and God. Hearing these words, the young man went away sad, for his possessions were many. Jesus said to his disciples, quote, I assure you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. I repeat what I said. It is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were completely overwhelmed and exclaimed, quote, then who can be saved? Unquote. Jesus looked at them and said, for man it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. My comment was, so maybe I should, quote, zip the lip, unquote, as Commander Hatton says. Stop asking, quote, man, unquote. Trust that goodness, godness, and get off the fence. Shoot, if I would have waited a few more minutes instead of walking away sad, maybe I would have learned something. Oh well. Then it was Peter's turn to say to him, quote, here we have put everything aside to follow you. What can we expect from it? Jesus said to them, quote, I give you my solemn word, in the new age when the Son of Man takes his seat upon the throne befitting his glory, you who have followed me shall likewise take your places on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Moreover, everyone who has given up home, brother or sisters, father or mother, wife or children, or property for my sake, will receive many times as much and inherit everlasting life. Many who are first shall come last, and the last shall come first. End quoting. Well, I don't know about that throne and judging business. Maybe I'm still confused. That voice inside me tells me the, quote, 12 tribes, unquote, will judge themselves worthy or not, as will I. What I have done, I will stand responsible for. I am responsible for, over the last few weeks and months, contributing to a state of confusion within myself in regards to the Entz farm situation, and feeding that confusion by asking other people's opinions. In my haste to find the, quote, truth, unquote, I ignored the voice inside that told me to trust and have patience. I pulled people I would talk to as my opinion changed from one side of my fence to the other. I put everything I believed into question, including the focus of this mission, and pulled others into that confusion whenever I could get someone to agree with me. I was wrong, and I apologize for my actions. I understand that a trust has been violated and that my integrity has come into question. I appreciate your patience with me and hope you can forgive me for the trouble I have caused, playing the, quote, devil's advocate at times. The pulling of others from their work to attend my needs was, at the least, selfish. I have slowed the entire project in my indecision and confusion. I hope in the future you can grow to trust me again. Standing within the unbending light of truth, I am your friend, Jeff.
Well said.
Love you.
Thank you, Jeff.
I hated to make you go through all that. You've grown up today, son. And we're proud of you. Don't ever stop the questioning. Because if you don't question this journey, you will blunder badly. As others who think they've got it all decided blunder. How could you know? This is the way of life. How could you know? And God doesn't always put the answer out there for us. We have to grovel a little bit to dig it out of the ground. And it doesn't make anyone all wrong or anyone all right. Self-righteousness is the curse of man. And I can honor a person who will take the contract to be the distractor far more quickly than I can take one who is self-righteous. We're in a journey together. And we are the small handful come back again. Why? Because we blew it. Over and over again we couldn't see it. You mentioned Peter, you mentioned Matthew, but I'm going to Thomas. Nobody's going to get off my hook. And we're needed. And you're needed. And you're needed to do this, Jeff. Not whole grain. Not go off on a pious trip to the cave somewhere. And not to judge Rod Ince or us. Look at what has happened. There isn't even a suggestion of need for forgiveness except of self if one feels one needs to forgive self for something. If errors can be corrected, let them be corrected. If there is refusal to correct the errors, then life has to take its responsible order. Man has to be governed by laws, because you can see that if there were no laws and man lived as man lives today, you would even have more chaos. Supposing I want to drive up the left-hand side of the road into the oncoming traffic. There are nothing wrong with rules and regulations. There's nothing wrong with setting a standard under which people operate. I'm appalled at ones who will set forth an entire standard of operation on all old sovereignty laws. Before you had automobiles, you didn't need, maybe, to have more than a bypass for the horse and carriage. Is it truly against your sovereignty to protect the masses of all the people to have some orderly rules of the game? How are you going to play a game without rules? And each thing that you introduce into this game, such as automobiles and airplanes and other such things, you have to have an orderly use of those things to protect all of you. It's a set of instructions. It's when we start trying to run everything in a world of 7 billion people, as it was with 7 million people even scattered around your globe. Try 7,000 people. Try the ones with clubs out of the cave in Jurassic Park. There might have been orderly rules, and God's rules stood then the same as they stand now. And you will notice that when Emmanuel spoke, he did not give you this garbage about don't work on Sunday. And give your money, 10% of it, to the church. He treated the widow's mite with the same value as an intentional gift of great sums. And when I say intentional, because he doesn't really just like people giving for the heck of getting. I'm a little different. I believe that sometimes for the giving, you begin a journey toward receiving honorably, whatever might have been that original intent. And whatever you have gone through, Jeff, these last few days and weeks, and whatever others might feel they have had to go through to listen and share, should have done one thing, and that's caused them to look at themselves. For you've grown up and you've been a great teacher this day. And you can now graduate into preschool. And do not lay down your pen. Keep it near. Keep your paper near. You have a gift, and it's time you use it. You don't have to save the world. We first got to save ourselves. EJ, let's get on to the ridiculous now. Politics.
More questions about a new republic. I would prefer that the numerous questions now being sent my way would be a bit rethought, because it is again somehow assumed that I know all about what is going on in the minds of the group working with and for Ron Jackson. Norma becomes a bit less cooperative as Ron discards my input with a simple, quote, Doris has exceeded her instructions. So go eat worms. Not literally, of course, but it serves well the issues. One of Jackson's cryptic messages was to Commander Doris. She didn't even pick it up, but a lot of you fax receivers did, so Mr. Jackson penned his personal insults along the borders of their letters and sent them back to the senders. We appreciate both, for it quickly tells you where a man is when he insults the very people who gained his freedom and ability to do anything, such as blast everybody who dares to disagree with his antics. I don't know about Ron's instructions, but I do suspect he may well have overstepped his information base. I admire the intent of Ron's group's actions. I simply see no way for their edicts or declarations to be enforced or even carried forth at this time. But perhaps they have more input and direct knowledge about their proposals than do I. In this I am quite serious, for of course they have the correct assumptions working for them, and all would be granted much if the elite nation takers could be dislodged so easily as by contract, agreements, and self-established courts. The problem, as I see it, is that establishing your assumptions on something which has long ago been cast down falls on deaf ears, and all the threats in the world of lack of sunlight will not give the proper information. For those assumptions still assume that deeds within your constitution have not yet taken place and are not yet enforced by your local law officers, UN, foreign powers, etc. Please remember that executive powers under the War Powers Act and any national emergency allows a president to take certain actions which have remained in force since the early 30s, right or wrong. This allowance is part of your constitution. Any public course of action against these orders is considered treason. Right or wrong makes no difference. However, to retake control of your government and nation and eventually have a free world, you have to begin somewhere with ones willing to do the extraordinary and run those initial risks. So, for explanation of this discussion, let us consider the paperwork nicely done and filed and waiting for your signatures to join the March to Freedom. There is a paragraph of the cover letter of November 27, 1995, which reads, "Only you can put a stop to the insanity and lies. Government is trying to cover their tracks and unlawful activities by making you think we need to become involved in Bosnia. You need to call all of your federal elected officials and ask them the following questions. 1. Why were you, the American citizen, not told about the international filing of bankruptcy of the corporate United States? 2. Why were you, the American citizen, not told about the pending collapse of the monetary system in this country, along with all stock markets? 3. Then ask them to explain the Glasgow Corporation, Rubble's bank, connection to this country. Bill Clinton will try to impose martial law. You can stop him. This country belongs to you and I. Let us take it back now. In Light and Freedom, Ron Jackson. Supreme Court for the United States of America, original and exclusive jurisdiction, sitting in law under mandate of Article 4, Section 2, empowered by we the people, sitting in petit grand jury mode, and also as the Supreme Court pursuant to Section 2 of the Grandfathered Northwest Ordinance. Signatures, Ronald L. Jackson, Betty J. Jackson, Rex R. Weeks, Charles C. Miller, Shirley J. Newby, David A. Newby, and Sovereign Principal and Grand Juror Alfonso Velasquez. The above is from the cover letter, and I appreciate all the efforts and derring do of the parties involved. However, I must take note of some of the silly reasons it will be discarded as a worthless effort for as long as the operating government can do so. There are too many errors in the structure of even the cover letter. Please, readers, this is no offense to those who structured these documents, but if you are balancing your power on the structuring of words, capital letters, little letters, spellings, etc., you have to do yours right. Example.
And I would interrupt, because in the writing you can pick it up. But a lot is made by the sovereign patriot citizens about little you, united. You are states or commonwealths or villages or whatever, united, not titled United States. So a lot has been done about that little you and capital we the people. So go ahead, please. I want that noted, that they have really stressed this little you and set it in parentheses so that nobody can miss it.
Example, quote, "This country belongs to you and I." No, it does not. And it does not now belong even to you and me. It is mortgaged, hook, line, and through the sinker and fish to the New World Order banksters. Those are facts, and they were accomplished through the manipulation of and by your Constitution. Cases have been tossed in the round file for far less than the next obvious punctuation errors, as all names are written thus, Ronald L., Jackson, etc., thusly indicating that Ronald L. is a sir or last name of identification, and Jackson is the Christian or given first name. A picky thing? Yes, but are expected to grab onto an error in your Constitution, which uses small United States of America, and base the takeover or overthrow of a functioning government on such assumptions. This in no wise indicates my disagreement with this mode of action. I just remind you that when you base your own appeal carelessly, you will get what you are tossing back at them, and they are far better at cunning shrewdness than are most of you law-abiding citizens. This, at the least, will keep you tied up in your established courts for the duration of the quarrel. There will be no recognition of your courts by the established courts, and if you got your nation back under the qualifications you demand, you also get the debt and the bankruptcy. Or, you're...